Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hi. Hello.
That was really awkward.
How are you?
That was awkward.
It's been a while. Hey, guys.
You got to get back into the groove of things.
Do you ever see somebody you ain't seen in a long time? And well, I get awkward because it's like, oh, I know we used to know each other, but it's not like we cool now. And so I'm not going to give you all the energy I gave you in high school.
So what makes that awkward?
I don't know. It just makes me uncomfortable.
Wow.
Because I have this like, it feels like maybe you think I should come with the same energy. And so now because there's some incongruence between your expectations and my inner reality, I'm uncomfortable now.
The life of an introvert is so intriguing.
I don't know if it's introversion. I don't know if that's introversion.
It's just Jackie.
It might be.
Yeah. You're an interesting person. Well, is that what you felt when the camera started rolling?
No, I was just mimicking.
You felt like our audience, you haven't seen them in a while.
It's been a while.
I don't know y'all no more.
I was mimicking how I... Anyway.
She don't know me no more.
Hey, guys.
What
how
up,
are
y'all?
You?
How y'all doing? We missed y'all.
I didn't miss you.
Wow.
But I don't know them. But that's cool that you missed them.
I missed them sharing the podcast every week, saying how much it blessed them.
I miss this.
You miss me?
This.
You miss me?
This. The mics and talking with you about Christian things.
I'm saying, but it's okay for you to just say, I miss you.
I'm with you all the time.
You miss me in this capacity.
No, I miss this.
You miss being close to me.
No, you're trying to make it. You're trying to do things that ain't don't need to be done.
You love me. Just say it. Vulnerability.
Today, we're going to talk about same-sex marriage.
Ooh, wow.
Going to come out swinging.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because
into it.
This was probably 2 weeks ago. We were outside of this church that we were visiting. And I think I was telling you about the recent controversies around Alistair Begg. Alistair Begg is a preacher teacher that I respect and listen to a lot. And he made some comments where he was encouraging a grandmother to attend her transgender, I guess, grandchild's wedding as an act of compassion and to bring a gift. And like the evangelicals.
Yeah.
The evangelical world went up in arms. They done booted Alistair off of radio shows. They done removed him from conferences. It just was throwing the baby out with the bathwater because it's coming.
So throw his 30 years of ministry out the window.
It's intense. And so me and Preston got into a conversation just around the subject of same-sex marriage or same-sex weddings. And we thought it would be cool to have it live, and we even stopped because me and you was going back and forth. I was like, let's just pause it,
yeah,
and actually do that because we differ. That's ultimately the end of the
yeah,
point.
We you know,
his
saying?
Stance is not my stance.
We got into it, but at the same time, our stance is the same.
The foundation is the same.
The foundation is the same, but how it's fleshed out is different. And I think one of the reasons why the situation, the other situations like it bothers me so much is because I don't think that it's thought about deeply. I think it is very dogmatic. I think it's very like black and white. And I do think that Christians aren't taught to think about things in nuance, with nuance. And so, yeah, so that's the reason why you didn't bother me. But the situation, seeing it online, is just like, man. And I think that we both, you know, agree with the way he was treated. It was just...
That the way he was treated was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I expect that of people who are particularly in reform spaces.
Hmm.
They have a very tribal, you know, it's either you're with us or you're not kind of energy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like other spaces move that way as well, but not like we see some.
Not shade to reform people.
No, it's not.
Because I am theologically reformed and I go to a reform seminary. So that means I know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah. I do think that some reform spaces, they do tend to be very tribal. It's like us against the world, and it's not necessarily about theology. And not before we even talk about this, one of the reasons why I think the Alice Abeg situation bothered me so much is because I've seen the same treatment kind of done with us and done with you in some ways. You know, when you went to go preach at a particular conference, you know, a lot of times these spaces say, man, it's about theology. But when you went to go preach or teach at a particular conference or a particular space, the critique.
You talking about Propel with Christine Kane?
Yeah, Propel. Even the thing that you're about to do recently.
With Bethel
or whatever. The issue that people had was that you're attending, that you are on a flyer. Not once are they asking you, Jackie, what is the message? if the concern is they don't teach right theology, or they, you know, false teachers or whatever, and you have a history of putting out theologically sound books,
right.
Theologically sound seminary, Bible studies,
right.
Theologically sound YouTube and right. Instagram,
right.
Right? If the gospel is what you guys are concerned about, why not come to Jackie and say, Jackie, we know that you have a track record of being theologically sound. We kind of, you know.
Even just theologically sound, but countercultural in the way I, when have I ever gone into a space and not told the truth?
But yeah, right. And so, and that's my point. And people were upset, not because you went and your message changed, but right. because you were on a flyer with people that they didn't believe was of us.
Yes, because the assumption is that you are partnering with false teachers.
Yeah, but my thing is, define partnering. If you came out and said, I joined the board, but it's like, we literally, like, it's so silly. Like, if think about it, like, for all of our ministry, we used to do the Kojic convention every year doing poetry. There is no denomination that we haven't accepted the invitation, and our message hasn't changed in the last 13 years. But because y'all are a particular camp that doesn't like another particular camp, you see me on a flyer with somebody and you say it's partnering.
I have so much to say, but I'm not going to say it because I refuse to let this be a soundbite. So I'm just going to say, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And so I'm going to do that.
Well,
and there are plenty of things that I actually do say no to because of, you know, what the partnership or the presumption of partnership could do, you know what I'm saying? But I think there are some things that I feel called to do, and I'm going to be faithful.
Well, I'll say this, because I'm your husband and my job is to protect you.
Okay.
I'm going to say this and we can move on.
All right, because this ain't even a topic.
Right.
The title was not Jackie
but it's online. When the concern is not what you're teaching, but who you are on a flyer with. We know that in a lot of ways, it's not about the gospel, but it's about what tribe you belong to. And I don't think that's biblical. And I think that people need to repent for slander.
Okay.
With that being said.
So what is marriage? I think before we can have a conversation around if we would attend a same-sex wedding, I think we first have to establish what marriage is.
Yeah.
Because that lays the foundation of everything.
Yeah, marriage is an institution, you know, that God ordained between a man and a woman.
How do you know that?
Because Genesis lets us know that in the beginning, he created male and female, and he joined them together as one, to be one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave them the command to tend over the garden, you know, and to cultivate life and to be fruitful and multiply. And we see design from the beginning when it comes to man and women relationship. And so
Can I read the text for you?
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
Yeah. Right. And so we see
wanted to make sure they knew there was a source for your opinion.
Yeah, we see design from the beginning, and we also see design in, you know, coming in the in the New Testament, when God tells us that, you know, we are to cling to our wives, right? So we see it in Genesis, we see it, you know, in the New Testament. And so I think that's what marriage is. It is a relationship, a union between one man and one woman.
Okay.
Okay. And so my question for you is, why do you think, do you think attending a same-sex marriage is problematic and why?
Potentially. So.
What? We didn't talk about this the other day.
I think it's because it's your phrasing.
As some of you may know, I've had my fight against porn. I've shared my story in the past to let people know that they also can be free from it. Job 31:1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look on a woman with lust. Job is explaining that it's not just important for us to have accountability partners, but to also hold ourselves accountable. And I think Covenant Eyes is a great app and ministry to help us do so.
There's a particular war being waged against the souls of men, women, and children, and it involves pornography. It's affecting marriages, our bodies, our minds, and it's even ensnaring our children and driving people into shame and isolation. Whether we know it or not, pornography is built on and leads to dehumanization, sexual abuse, and exploitation of innocence. Here's a few statistics to make it plain. 56% of divorcees state pornography use as a major factor leading to divorce. 47% of Christian families say porn is a problem in their home right now. 90% of children ages 8 to 16 have viewed pornography online, and most while doing homework. And this is why we want to invite you to check out the Ministry of Covenant Eyes. For over 23 years, Covenant Eyes has been helping men, women, and families in the fight against pornography with their industry-leading software and resources. Victory by Covenant Eyes is software that fosters online integrity through relationships centered around accountability. With powerful accountability features built in and optional blocking technology, Victory by Covenant Eyes is a tool in the fight to live a porn-free life. Protect your family today by visiting CovenantEyes.com and use the promo code PERRYS, P-E-R-R-Y-S, for 30 days free or by clicking on the link in the show notes today. That's CovenantEyes.com and be sure to use the promo code PERRYS. All right, y'all.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't even frame it as, is it problematic or not? I would simply say, do I think that attending a same-sex wedding is the wisest way to display or show compassion to a same-sex couple? I lean on the path of no.
Yeah.
I think there are other ways to display love and compassion. And this is why. I think when you go, you got Genesis 2. That says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, da da da, cling to the wife, da da da. We see God is the one who created marriage,
mm-hmm.
and he created marriage before sin even entered into the world. And
yeah.
so that means that he really, if he's the originator of it, then he's the Lord of it. He defines it, right?
Yeah.
I've had people say, well, what about like attending a wedding with two unbelievers? The fundamental thing that makes marriage is sex difference,
yeah.
not necessarily religious symmetry
yeah.
or like similarity. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so like
not salvation.
A man and a woman. So y'all could be two unbelievers or one unequally yoked and stuff like that. I can attend that because you still male and she's still female.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to a wedding that is not a wedding,
mm-hmm.
I can't go.
You can't go.
Okay, let me back up. Okay.
Okay.
Let me explain my thought.
Come on.
The way
we got time. It ain't 30 minutes with the Perrys no more. It's kind of like an hour and a half with the Perrys.
I think God cares about marriage
mm-hmm.
Because he created it. That's one. So he cares deeply about it. Two, when you get to Ephesians 5, you see that Paul says that this mystery is profound
mm-hmm.
and that he's talking about marriage and that it refers to Christ and the church.
Yeah.
Meaning when God created marriage, he created it as a symbol or even a sacrament to reflect God's marriage to what the church would be because of Christ Jesus, right? And so if it's a symbol that then represents the gospel, it's even more important. Right.
Yeah.
Because now I want to make sure that I'm honoring this mystery that God made to reflect what his son did.
Yeah.
So that's two. So all of that kind of gives me a reverence for mm-hmm. marriage. And then when you add in the fact that to me, being present at a wedding can often communicate agreement,
mm-hmm.
affirmation,
yep.
support.
Yep.
Even covenantal accountability in some spaces, like my presence here says that I'm going to support, lift up, pray for this union.
Yeah.
And so to me, my presence in the room can communicate something that I don't actually want to be communicated because I can't support it.
Yeah.
I can't affirm it. I can't. If I pray for it, I'm praying that God breaks it up. I'm not praying that it's, you get what I'm saying? Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay. Now, I'm pretty sure you want to hear my thoughts.
I know them, but go ahead.
Okay.
They do.
Okay. Well, so it's not that I don't agree with everything that you just said,
right?
Because I 100% agree with everything you just said. I think sometimes for me, the issue is when Christians approach this issue as if it is utter sin to attend a wedding that's of the same sex, like a same-sex marriage, when the Bible doesn't say if you go to a wedding or an event that celebrates same-sex love, you're necessarily in sin. Now, I do think that all disobedience to God is sin, right? And so I do think that if God doesn't want you to go there, like personal conviction, I think that's sin, right? But I think the issue, and I think that we all can agree with, it's a wisdom thing.
Yes.
Right? It's a wisdom issue, right? Because we already...
It's like going to the club. Is going to the club sin? Not necessarily.
Right, right,
but
right.
Is it wise?
It's not. Right. And the reason why it's not wise is because we've already established what a wedding is and what God calls a wedding, right? We know that our participation at this event would be, in a lot of ways, communicating to the public that I agree with this. It makes it confusing. It makes your allegiance to Jesus muddy to some people. It has the potential to do that. And so, you know, I think this is my own personal conviction, because I do think that we look at this situation as black and white. So when Alice Abed came out and people was like, you're in sin, let's take all your ministry off of radio and all of this stuff. It's like, come on, have you thought about this deeply? Because I think that it's possible, and this might ruffle a little feathers, right? I think that it's possible for a believer to seek the Lord. And I do think that there is a way for the Lord to allow somebody to go to a wedding that's same sex.
Okay. So right? Go ahead.
Well, you about to ask a question?
Just to flesh that out.
So to paint a picture, right? I'll give you an example. Because of my allegiance to Jesus, because of my convictions, because of my theological principles and truths that I stand on and I live by, if my sister got engaged to another woman and she came to me and said, would you
And come his sister, with his sister's with a man.
My sister's married to a man. I'm just, this is hypothetical, right?
Preston got a gay sister. We ain't never known
that.
Did she read Gay Girl? Good
or my
daughter?
Brother or my uncle, somebody that I had a deep relationship with came to me and said, would you come to my wedding? I already know my first instinct would be like, no,
right?
Because of my beliefs.
Right.
Right. But at the same time, I think, and the reason why my first answer will be no, is because I stand on a theological truth and I stand on a principle that this gospel is true and the world gotta like align with what I believe. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's what I stand on. But at the same time, even though God, I think God honors that, I also think that God is a relational God who cares deeply, not just about our relationship with him, but our relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that God is this dogmatic, you know, God in heaven just with these dogmatic rules and saying, I don't care that it's a wrestle that you are afraid of this relationship being ruined. I do think that God wants us to choose mother and father. He doesn't want us to choose mother and father or any other relationship over him because his Bible said so.
Right.
But I do think he wants us to wrestle because relationship matters, right? And so, for example, right, I think one way in which I can go to a wedding, if I pray and ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to go here, right? I think it's a possibility that God can say, man, in order for you to go to this wedding, you might have to do some hard things. And I don't think people talk about the hard things as much, right? Because if my sister wanted me to attend her wedding, right? For example, I'm getting there. Bear with me. And she says, I will be really hurt and I feel like our relationship would be ruined if I look at my wedding pictures and I don't see you. I would have to do the hard thing and say, you know what? Can we have a private conversation? In that private conversation, I would have to tell my sister, whoever it is, I think the only way I can attend your wedding is if two things happen. Is if you accept the fact that if I attend this event, I do not consider this event a wedding. I don't consider it a wedding. This is not a wedding in my eyes. I don't care how beautiful your vows are. I don't care how many tears y'all have, right? I don't celebrate this with you. Mm-hmm. And so if you're comfortable with me going there, mm-hmm. and me standing in the audience, sitting down in the audience and not considering this a wedding. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if she says, okay, yes, even though you don't consider, I still want you to be there. I say, okay, now a second thing has to happen. Right. And this is, I will emphasize that this is not for people. This is about my relationship with Jesus, because I made a public proclamation to the world that I serve this God. Going to your wedding kind of makes that public proclamation muddy. And so if you are okay with me going online and saying I'm attending this wedding that I don't agree with, that I love this person, but I don't love this event, that I care about this person, but I don't care about this. If you are okay with that, then I think potentially, because I think the issue is.
But who would ever be okay with that?
That's the thing, because I think for me, I'm about this. This is just my personal opinion. I'm about doing everything I can to make peace in a relationship without betraying the God that I gave my life to.
Right.
And so my thing is, if a person that loves me is getting married to the same sex, wants me to attend their wedding, I think. How you present it to them by saying, you want me to bend. And if you want me to bend, you got to bend too.
Okay.
You got to bend a little bit. I actually bring more heat to me because I run the risk of the people that's gay affirming at the wedding rolling their eyes at me for 3 hours. And I run the risk of Christians, you know, the Christians who will never have a successful relationship, a healthy relationship with somebody in same-sex relationship. And don't even know how to deal with that community, just yelling out hatred and ignorant comments, I run the risk of y'all attacking me. But I personally think that God will honor the fact that I'm honoring him while I'm still trying to keep a door open for that person to come in my life and for me to be a light to them.
I think it is honorable.
I know that was a lot.
No, it was thoughtful. It was thoughtful because it means you think.
Yeah.
I think it's honorable to say that I will have a conversation about what I believe, where I stand before, or like as an element of if I should go or not.
Yeah.
Because I do think some people are just prone to just saying yay or nay without any conversation at all.
And I think that person deserves that. I think that person deserves that. I think a lot of times, and I'm just, this might sound a little harsh. I think a lot of times we just walk too cowardly. We'll try to be faithful to Jesus while dishonoring people. And I think God wants us to do both. I think he wants us to be faithful to him while at the same time honoring the people who don't even serve him. And so there's a way for us to do both. It's to say, man, if I come here, do you know what I believe about Jesus and what he says in the Bible? So therefore, I can't agree with that. And because I proclaim to the world what I believe, right? I'm not going to make an ambiguous or a cryptic message online about how I know. It's going to be very clear. I'm going because I love this person and I want to keep this door of relationship open. But I don't agree with this. If you're okay with that. And sometimes for us to say somebody might not be okay with that, that's true. But we can't say.
I think most people would.
Most people
not
wouldn't.
Be okay with that.
Most people wouldn't be okay
because
with
I actually. Okay, so back up. I think I'm all for your first part, which is let's have a conversation about it. You know, how you feel about what I feel, what I believe, da 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 da. Because I think God is faithful to potentially bless even those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I've encouraged people to, when I've encouraged people in the direction of potentially not going, I've actually tried to encourage the fact that God can use your no.
Yeah.
God can use your conversation about why you cannot attend to actually do work in people's hearts. And I have evidence, which is I had a conversation with a young lady once whose sister got engaged to a woman. And she read my book, Gay Girl, Good God, before having the conversation with her sister. And that led her to the conclusion, like, I don't think I can go to your wedding in good conscience. So she called her sister and told her sister that she could not attend the wedding, why she could not attend the wedding, and basically preached the gospel to her sister. The sister got off the phone and repented and canceled the wedding. So stuff like that tells me that God can use the conversation about the no to actually do work. But secondly, I think your point about making a public declaration of what you believe, I just don't think that actually works.
I think it does. Why you don't think it works?
Because I think it can come across as shaming. Because let's say we're talking about your sister. People don't know your sister. So now all of a sudden we know your sister. We know your sister's situation with being gay and getting married and stuff like that. And we know you don't approve of it. When that person was, it's not like the public even knew that.
Yeah, but so
you put them in a position to low-key be embarrassed.
Yeah, but my thing is, I put them in a position, but I gave them the choice. And so it's not like
But it's a choice that no one's going to make. So you end up actually, you're not going to go to the wedding at the end of the day.
Yeah. So
no one's ever going to say, sure, to your 400,000 followers, please say you're going to my wedding, but you don't agree because I'm going to hell. Yeah.
You don't know that because some people, because I have family members who don't care about what my followers think and who don't even, it's not even in my circle, who's not even, they don't really care. Like I have family members like, I don't care what your people say. I want you here. I think I have family members that would do that and would say that. But also too, as far as.
But do you think that honors them?
Yeah, I think it honors them because I didn't communicate how I would communicate.
Okay. Tell me how you do it. Give me an example.
Well, I haven't necessarily fleshed out word for word what I would say, but I would do it in a way that would honor them as most I can. I won't say, I think this wedding is an abomination, but I'm going anyways because I love her. I wouldn't use words that would even trigger Christians. they're going to burn in a lick of fire.
In my mind, I'm just thinking about posting a reel with like...
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Jesus culture music.
And let me just say this. I want people, because I think a lot of times the culture, be quiet, babe. People. I think the culture that we live in, I think that if you don't come out and speak the exact sentiments of people, not only do they not hear you, but they have the tendency of hearing you saying something completely different.
Okay.
And so I can see people hearing this and say, Preston, agree with, it's like, I never said that. I actually started off saying my first inclination would be to say no. Because of why I stand biblically.
I'm saying we talking about the public thing.
I know, but I just want to make that clear because I just kind of hear people hear what they want to hear. But what I'm saying is with the public thing that I would do my best to honor them in the way I communicate it, while at the same time letting people know that if someone sees me here or if the public sees it, it's not even about me trying to, you know, look a certain way in the public. It's really not about that. It's I don't want to confuse people. And so I do think that I would try my best to honor the God that I serve while at the same time honoring them. But I do think it's about making your public, you know, dedication to Jesus not muddy. And so like if a person really wants me there, I feel like if you really want me there that bad, can you respect, you know, the foundation that I stand on? Can you respect that? And can you respect me not wanting to damage that, right? Because the issue of going to a same-sex marriage is not me being insane. It's me agreeing with it. And so if I could communicate to the public that I don't agree with it, right? And so that's what sin does. Sin makes everything hard. That's what the church has to understand,
right?
And that's what unbelievers have to understand,
right?
When two people operate outside the way God intended them to be, things get hard.
Yes,
and I don't think that God wants us to run away from the hard things. That's hard.
Yes,
that's hard. You're making me go outside of my beliefs.
Yes,
and so if I have to try to figure out a way to do that, I have to do the hard thing. This is very uncomfortable.
So is the basis of your potential yes, does it start with you discerning what God wants?
Yes.
Or is this always going to be
That's the reason why I just brought up, you know, people kind of hear what they want to hear, because I want people to understand that first. I will really pray to the Lord. And when I thought about this, I thought about the potential of God saying, maybe I'm calling you to do the hard thing. Because as everybody know, if you ever saw my YouTube channel, I have hard conversations. And I will be going to that wedding, anticipating not my family member, but the other side of the wedding party, not too happy with me, wanting to have conversations, DMing me. Right. It invites more conversations for me to give truth with grace and love. Right. And so, you know, like I do think that in the same way God can use our no, I think God can also use our attendance when we like plainly communicate that we don't agree with. I think God can use both. I think the problem is a wisdom problem. I think that if people think that we agree with it, I think that's when it gets muddy. But I think that if it's a way, right, it's rare. I don't think that the average, I think you're right. I don't think the average person would say, yeah, put me on all your social media and tell people that you don't, you know.
Right.
But if they do, right, if they don't, I can't attend. If they say, I don't want you to do that, I can't attend. And I would say, this is not, I'm not putting this in your lap so you can say, oh, you don't have to go. I'm not trying to manipulate you. My salvation and my relationship with the Lord means a lot to me. Right. And so I think that, you know, if I got to bend, I think you got to bend a little bit as well.
I think what I appreciate, again, is the amount of like love and wisdom and work and energy it takes to have like hard conversations around this subject.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a family member or even a child, like to just say yes or to just say no without any conversation is easy.
Yeah.
But I think to kind of lean into the messiness of all the things and the complications and the weirdness and the awkwardness, I think, is the way of love.
Yeah.
To just commit, because we don't like talking. We don't like communicating. Mm-hmm. Like we like, you know, the easy piece. So I'm just saying your first part, I think, should be overemphasized.
Yeah.
That like talk to your people, process with your people. I even remember a conversation that I had with someone who's a lesbian and married to a woman. And she was saying how like she just hates how weird her Christian friends acted when she invited them to the wedding, where they either ignored her or like didn't respond. And she was like, stop being weird and just tell me no. Like we straight. You know what I'm saying? Not literally, but like, like we're good. Like you ain't got to do all of that.
Cause it's real convenient to disappear.
Yeah.
It's actually, you're not actually not being bold. I think God, like I said before, I think God wants you to honor him. And I think he wants you to honor people. I think he wants you to honor him first.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
So with the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yeah.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh, yeah. You wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But mm-hmm. We're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch, and I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like,
yay.
Like all of it.
Beautiful.
And,
you
know, and we're also coming on tour with our books, with my new book, all of Jackie 1900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right. So show notes, www.withtheperrys.com/tour. I think it's okay to even allow people to see the wrestle.
Yes.
Right? So,
come on, now you're talking my language.
If I'm about to push back, I think it's okay for people to see, you know, sis, I love you. I love you a lot. I care for you. I want to honor you. You know, but I'm struggling, and this is why I'm struggling. For people to see the humanity, because oftentimes people see they see the theology, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily see the human
yes.
that like is communicating the theology. So,
yep.
like to see the wrestle mm-hmm. between I want to honor God and I want to honor you, and just give me some time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And like, what's I think the pushback? Because cool. I like I said, I embrace hard conversations. I'm ready.
Of course you do. I was sitting here when you was talking, I was sitting here envisioning myself. First of all, I do have the luxury of, I don't think anybody is ever going to invite me to their gay wedding. I don't think that is ever going to be a thing.
Yeah, Jackie, come on to my gay wedding. I'm going to hand out Gay Girl Good God to all the guests.
That's just not a conversation I have to have. Now, depending on the path our children take, God willing, whatever affections or temptations they experience, they subject that under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is our prayer and our hope and what we're cultivating. But if ever they go down a path that we don't prefer, then I think I might have a different wrestle. That doesn't mean that my position will change, but I think your position gets weirder when it hits close to home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think where I am now, it's just not something that, nobody's gonna ask me. But I think I was thinking about, if I did attend, how would I feel? I felt anxiety in my body, and not like fear, but grief. Mm-hmm. Because I think some of the grief is informed by the fact that God delivered me from this.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think maybe my previous context is a large part of why I wouldn't be able to go.
Yeah.
Because I recognize the amount, I remember being a slave.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be hard for me to sit here and see people celebrating slavery.
Yeah.
And I call it slavery because Romans does.
Mm.
Romans says, like, if you are a person who is led by your sins and your passions, then you are a slave to who you obey, right? And so I am literally seeing slavery being celebrated, and we're singing and we're dancing and we're making cheers and we're eating food and we're like, yeah. this is a temple at this point.
Yeah.
And so to me, my heart can't take, and I don't want people to think that how I feel is how everybody should feel. I'm just saying I carry a particular grief.
Yeah,
and when it comes to that, that wouldn't allow me to have peace.
And that's good that you said that, because I think that what you're communicating is good, because I hate when people say it's about your personal convictions. It is, but it isn't, right? I do think that we're all individuals, and we all have individual stories that make some things more
yes.
sensitive than others, right? And so, for example, you know, I'm passionate about, you know, street ministry, but it's some things that I can't participate when it comes to street ministry, because I can't participate in some things because mm-hmm. it just hits close to home. Or like I love to give the gospel to other religions. I couldn't attend a ceremony, you know what I mean, that celebrates false theology in mm-hmm. that way, right? And so I agree with that. But I think that if the issue is confusing people about what we believe, right, we have to figure out how can we successfully communicate that to the world that we don't agree with this. And I do think that I don't want people to think that I'm saying, oh, yeah, like,
I'm listening to you. I'm trying to find Russell Morris article.
You're all good. I don't think people should automatically say, you know, we should go or we should not go. I think that you should really pray about it and truly seek the Lord about it, while at the same time sticking to your convictions. That's what
Dang. I forgot I haven't paid my Christianity Today little bill, so I can't see the article. Oh, okay. There we go. I did pay it. Okay, so I think one thing low-key hitting at is something Russell Moore kind of explores, because Russell Moore did an article for Christianity Today talking about the Alistair Begg controversy and same-sex weddings and stuff like that. And he kind of made the point that maybe someone who doesn't attend a same-sex wedding could be considered like the weaker brother in 1 Corinthians, right? Because their conscience cannot handle this type of situation. So I'm going to read it. He says, so Russell Moore is on the side of he doesn't officiate same-sex weddings. He will not attend one, et cetera. He says, I also realize that my conscience here might be what the Bible would call the weaker one, Romans 14. I just know that, weak or not, I can't violate it. I can understand why people would disagree with me, and I can see the biblically reasonable case they would make, which is why I don't expect other people's consciences to be bound by my scruples on a matter that's an inference from scripture rather than a direct and clear command. Does it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think framing it as one, a conscience issue, and therefore an issue that could change depending on if you have a weaker conscience like I do when it comes to this, or a stronger conscience, which I think you do. Because if we're talking about conscience, it's to say my conscience cannot handle being in that environment because of the world that I came from, right? Ooh. Your conscience can, because of the perspective that you have about your love for your sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Hypothetical sister.
Yes. And you know what? I feel like the Lord just dropped this on my spirit.
Come on here.
I feel like the Lord just dropped this
on my
spirit.
What did he say?
And I want people to hear me when I say this. And this is not me making an excuse to try to defend the position that I just laid out. I feel like the Lord, when I thought about this issue deeply, because the Alistair Begg situation and other situations like, and I've had this question so many times on Q&As and stuff like that. So I thought about it deeply. I think one of the reasons why I land on the side that I land on, I think God is kind of showing me right now, is because I'm an evangelist. I think my heart as an evangelist, I think in order to be an evangelist, you have to have hard conversations. You have to put yourself in difficult situations, even for those hard conversations to even happen. Mm. And I do think that if I came from the gay community, I probably would feel different, but I don't. Yeah. Right. And I think God in a lot of ways has prepared me for that type of heat, right? For that type of smoke. Because I think I will get smoke from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I will honestly go to that wedding if they agree, anticipating conversations and actually excited about it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I do think you have to be honest about how God has made you, where God has brought you from, and also where he's called you to.
Mm.
Right. But also at the same time, regardless of what he's called you to, how he's made you, what he's brought you from, and all of that, all of us making it clear to the world what we believe, mm-hmm. and why we believe it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if I ever attended, it wouldn't be a situation where it comes up on the news and people asking me a question, why did you attend? They'll know where I stand and why I stand. And some might say, Preston, you shouldn't have went. Okay. But you ain't gonna be confused about what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't gonna be confused about like the conversation that I had with people while I was there. That's what you're not gonna be confused about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the larger issue. I think that's what makes it problematic.
Mm.
Is that it's confusing when we attend something that clearly goes against God's word. And so I do think that my heart as an evangelist and my heart for people in that way drives me to at least consider praying about, should I go?
That's interesting.
And so I think that's kind of, you know, one of the reasons why I stand, why I stand.
Oh, man. That's good. I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah.
There's a lot to say.
I just want to say this, and I actually want your opinion on it, because I don't want to harp on this, but I do think that, I think it was Ray Orland's son.
Mm-hmm.
That we watched when the Alistair Begg thing situation came out. And what's his name?
It's either Gavin or Dane.
Gavin, we'll follow both of them, because the Orland family are just great, golly men and women. But one of the things that he said was most of the people that critiqued or tried to cancel Alistair are not even tested in ministry. Mm-hmm. and they haven't dedicated their life to even preaching the gospel in this capacity. Mm-hmm. Right. And so for what would you say to the people who would try to cancel everything that a person has done for years because of this one fundamental and theological disagreement? I don't even think it's a theological disagreement, because theologically he has publicly came out and said, you know, that he disagrees with same-sex marriage. Yeah. He had a famous quote that was all over TikTok before this happened, says, you know, we love, but we can't accept, our gay friends and stuff like that. And so what would you say to people who are just so quick to cancel a Christian in that way?
It's so much. Because I think we are just guarding ourselves from false teachers and false teachers that are coming up from among us.
Mm.
Right? So I think people just have a really keen eye to, can I still trust you? You know, some of that is just because our trust has been affected by the amount of pastors that have fallen, the amount of pastors who at one time were theologically solid for 10, 15 years, and now they seem to be moving in a direction that is accommodating sin, particularly around sexual ethics. So I think we're just on guard from who we can trust. So I think that's a good thing. I think underneath it, though, I think especially those who live in more theologically dense spaces, such as Reformed theology, like Presbyterian, blah, blah, blah. I think cats like that have to guard themselves from, one, lacking love,
mm-hmm.
lacking long suffering, and being hypercritical.
Yeah.
I think if that's where you lean, if you lean in that direction, then you need to even be on guard against yourself and how that could show up in how you treat other people.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you look at even when Peter was out there, you know what I'm saying, when the Gentiles and them showed up, and he like, I ain't gonna eat with the Gentiles, I'm finna eat with the Jews. I ain't finna over here thinking that I'm being defiled and all this stuff. And Paul came and rebuked him to his face. So it don't mean if a brother is tripping or doing something off, you don't rebuke him.
Right.
But we don't stay there.
Yeah.
Even Peter wasn't canceled.
Yeah.
He was challenged, and then we moved on.
Facts. Facts. And I do think,
and we're rebuking people we don't even know, for God's sake.
Yeah, and I do think that if you find yourself in camps or circles, and the people that you find yourself around, they're more known for what they're against than what they're for, I think that you will have a deeper temptation just to cancel somebody the first time you disagree with them, because there's a lot of rhetoric of what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. And I made a reel about this recently. There's just people out there who are just getting money, getting fame, getting attention of just complaining about what's wrong all day. And so the first time we see somebody that does something that kind of goes against what the first thing we do is, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. And we're not even taught how to talk deeply about these things, to even wrestle through it, right? And so I do think what you just said about love is key. This is the reason why the first thing that we should do is love. It's like, how can we have love, Alistair Begg, in this situation?
Well, I do have a thought.
What's the thought?
Because if someone makes a public statement, I don't think you're necessarily wrong to make a public rebuke or denounce that, right?
I was getting there, but okay, you can.
It's the way we do it.
Yes, that's what I was just about to say. Because my thing is, I would have loved to seen for those who disagree with all that getting, for them to get understanding. Nobody came and asked questions. Nobody came and said, okay, what do you mean by this? Can we talk about this? You know, it was just cancel, cancel, cancel.
Well, some people ask questions.
Well, I'm not saying some. I'm just saying the overall, what we saw, just people canceling them. Some of his sermons were stripped off of certain, you know, platforms as if it wasn't theologically true. Now, if he came out and said, I don't think that same-sex marriage is sin.
Right.
You know, I disagree with Paul, right. You know, then I can say, man, theologically and foundationally, we don't believe the same thing.
Right.
And you are showing signs of false teaching, mm-hmm. right? But he didn't do that, mm-hmm. right? He went a different way, contrary to how you would have went. And so like that, I think that invites a conversation, not a cancellation. And so I don't think that we love people well when we're just always so excited to talk about what we disagree with, and we don't want to have real, genuine conversations with the people that we disagree with.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
I have a text. Paul says, chapter 5, verse 1, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Surely he's not saying that just because a man is older or an elder is in a position of authority, that means he can go without rebuke. But I think who they are and what they represent, whether like, if someone is a father in the faith, a mother in the faith, even a sister or a brother in the faith, you challenge them in a way that honors who they are.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So if you are my sister, how do I show up and honor you?
Absolutely.
Even as I correct you. If you're a father, how do I correct you, right, in a way that honors you?
Because how many?
And I think that's what's not happening.
Because how long has he been in ministry?
I mean, longer than we've been alive.
Well, longer than we've been alive. And also he has taught theological truth for a very long time. Now, in 2024, he comes out with one thing that we don't agree with, not necessarily saying he agrees with sin, but the way we would attend something that is sinful, right? It's okay to disagree. I just think this cancel culture is so whack. It's so whack. We just, like, Jesus wouldn't do that. Like, Jesus would not move the way y'all moving. Because he didn't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He had people, he told Peter, get behind me, Satan, but he ain't cancel him. He as a matter of fact, he said, Peter, I'm gonna build my church on, you know what I'm saying? And so like,
if we want to say that Jesus canceled people, he canceled actual wolves.
Yes.
The actual false teachers and the actual Pharisees who were saying things that weren't true and living lives that were deceptive. And so I just think we have to be careful lest we move in the direction of slander. But I also want to affirm our commitment to truth, because I feel like we have to balance it.
Yeah.
Because you have some people who are on the side who don't rebuke nothing.
Yeah.
Don't correct nothing. Don't challenge nothing. Because they may not be at, like, whereas a person who's bold might actually just be in the direction of being self-righteous and harsh. A person who is quiet might actually just be a coward.
Right.
Right. And so we don't want to be either. We just want to be faithful. What does faithfulness look like?
Yeah. And it looks like loving God and loving people as yourself.
Now, what will be really interesting is that if you're invited to a same-sex wedding, knowing that I'm not going, even just that dynamic.
Yeah, I think that
because that'll be a part of like the conversation at the dinner party. Where's Jackie?
Yeah, I think
in her pajamas.
I think
sipping a latte.
Yeah,
in front of Romans
one. As your leader,
I'll be praying.
Right.
I will be fasting for you.
Right.
That the wedding would be a mission field.
Can I talk, please?
As you eat the meatballs.
Okay.
Talking to any Mormons that might have been invited.
Oh, right.
They would be there.
As your leader, I don't think that I don't see myself ever trying to pressure you to be in a situation that might be emotionally damaging, right? So, like,
emotionally damaging.
Not emotionally damaging, but like, you said
it just goes against my.
But you said you would be vexed. being
I'd
there.
Be grieved.
Grieved. That's what I mean. Like I wouldn't want to put you in a situation that would grieve you in that way.
Yes.
Right. But at the same time, you know, honestly, that would be more of a temptation not to go if you're not with me. Right. You know what I'm saying? Only because, you know, this is like sexuality, talking about sexuality through a biblical lens is your thing. And so I was just hypothetically.
I would just prep you.
Yeah. I was hypothetically using myself, but I don't even think that God will tell me to go. I was just, honestly, because it's not my thing. I talk to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Hebrew Israelites. Like, I don't even know how to like.
We just did all of this and you talk about something. Yeah, I probably wouldn't even go.
No. When I was using myself as I was using myself. For
that's
other
a plot twist.
Yeah, for other people.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
because I
talked, you were standing in proxy.
Because I talked about evangelism, right?
Yes.
Right? But if I was well versed in like
sexuality,
yeah. I feel like I would be equipped. Because it's one thing to be ready.
Come on here.
And it's another thing to be equipped and ready. Uh-huh. Like I'm ready for the smoke always.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I ain't afraid of no conversation, yeah. But I don't dibble and dabble in stuff that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Stuff is changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, cause a lot of stuff be changing.
Yes.
And I wouldn't even know how to properly talk about certain things. And I don't think that because I didn't come from that community and because I don't engage with the community a lot, I don't think that I would be able to be as sensitive and as thoughtful in my conversations.
But
I feel like if you are, and if you're not afraid to have those conversations, you should pray and ask the Lord, how should you go about it?
I will say this. I think that actually, before we close, because we're going long, I think that brings up a significant point because you began by saying you would go because you, like, what would even motivate you to have the conversation about if you should go is
right.
You praying and discerning God's will.
Absolutely.
I think we often have to be reminded that a part of discerning God's will is having conversations and praying with other people.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good too.
So
yep.
Like trying to discern God's will in isolation doesn't mean it won't happen. It just means there's always the potential that it's actually not as sound.
That's really good that you brought that up because I didn't say that, but I definitely would not. I don't do anything without calling my leaders,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? My mentors, Brian Dye or Eric Mason, I don't do anything. And so I definitely, after I pray, I would call men who I know the Bible and who I know the Lord. Because
mm-hmm.
Some people know the Bible, but they don't know God. I know men that know both, mm-hmm. Right?
Let me share something real quick.
And so I called them first.
I had a situation where I was invited to do this ministry engagement with people who I disagree with, maybe on all levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wrestling with, if I go, I can present the gospel in a space where the gospel is not often presented.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I opt out, then I'm able to just not even make any public association with me in this ministry,
yeah.
Right? And in me trying to discern what God wanted, I had to talk to people.
Yeah.
And so I called about four people who are older than me, who have been in ministry for a long time, to process with me about the direction I should go. And I ended up coming to the conclusion that it would not be wise for me to attend this thing, right?
Yeah.
I think the same should apply to even stuff like weddings, which is
mm-hmm.
You could have a conviction, like your conviction is landing on love and compassion. My conviction is landing on like, nah, I need to like maintain a public allegiance to Jesus and I can't go here because it'll violate my conscience, right? I think both of those lean in the direction of some type of biblical truth. And so oftentimes you need some wise counsel to come in and say, which part should I lean into?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm not, especially if you're a person who's hyper compassionate,
mm-hmm.
Your yes is going to be easy naturally.
Yes.
If you're a person that's hyper judgmental, your no is going to be easy naturally.
That's
and
really
so
good.
Having a sounding board that can move you in a wise
and
direction.
What you just said just reminded me of this, and I want to keep beating the dead horse. I just want to reemphasize this. Even the wrestle that I stated of why I would even consider or why I think God might say you can go is not me being noodle back. It's not
huh?
me.
Where did that come from?
Because you know, like people who don't have a backbone, they call them
did
noodle
you grow
back.
Up hearing that?
Yeah, my grandma used to say that. Don't be a noodle back. You know what I'm saying? Have some backbone about yourself.
Got it.
Right? It's not me being like, like me trying to be a people pleaser.
Right.
It is me trying my best to honor the Lord, at the same time keeping a door open in a relationship so that I can be a light to that person.
Yes.
Right. And I think like that because I'm an evangelist, right? And so I'm always trying to be a light to the people in my life, people in the streets, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so I'll say this, you know, like, make sure that you don't fall on two sides of the extreme, super critical and judgmental when you're just mean.
Yes.
So it's easy for you to say no, because that's not godly boldness. You just mean.
Yes.
Or just super, super cowardly and just like, you know what I mean? And like, want to just please people. And so you feel the need to change your theological views just so this person won't be mad at you. I think God has a problem with that as well. I do think that God is going to use us how he has uniquely made us. And I think because God is a father, and it's a Christianity is a personal relationship with this God, he won't put us in situations where we're not ready to handle, right? And so I do think that we have to take that into consideration while at the same time bringing godly people into your life for wise counsel for them to say yes and no, you shouldn't attend this.
Yeah, before we go, I think I would encourage everyone to know what the Bible says about sexuality, know what the Bible says about what marriage is, know what the Bible says about marriage being a reflection or a symbol that represents the gospel, know what the Bible says about the conscience, know what the Bible says about sin, because I think having a solid theological foundation actually anchors us and knowing the best decision or path to go, right? And so if anybody is listening like, shoot, I agree with Preston and I agree with Jackie, I don't know what to do. Get in your Bible, get in your word, know what you should believe before you then try to discern what you should do.
Yeah.
And then
that's a good that's a good word. Yeah. Yeah. Have a good biblical foundation. Pray. Keep wise, godly people around you, and God will lead you.
Yeah. And I'll link some resources in the show notes. Bye, y'all.
Peace.
With the Pairs is produced by the Pairs with support from Amanda Reed and Channing McBride. Video recording and audio production by Kim Powell, Abishai Perez, and Xavier Fairley. Edited by the team at Tread Lively. Artwork by Hop and music by Swoop. Thank you for listening. Now go with God.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.